I will be reading from Colossians 3, 3 through 17. For you died, and your life is now hidden from Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your eternal nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The inspired word of God for the people of God.
I'm going to tell a little story about our oldest, Andy. He's not here to defend himself, so, I do have permission, by the way. When Andy was 3 years old, our oldest, he was pretty independent, and he wanted to dress himself. Anybody know any little people like that? Yeah, that like to dress themselves. And not only did he want to dress himself, he often wanted to pick his own clothes, right? Have you ever seen a kid who picked their own clothes? It's pretty awesome, right? One day, he carefully chose a pair of kind of off-white shorts that had green palm trees and orange tropical things and purple. They were a cool pair of shorts. It was actually one of his favorites. And then he carefully chose a green shirt to go with it, except for that the green shirt had purple footballs and orange basketballs and all kinds of other bright colors. And he got dressed, and he came and he said, "I dressed myself." And he said, "And I picked them because they're green." Right? Green was the color that was in both. Have you ever been that parent? When it doesn't matter, you just let it go. But when it kind of matters, you kind of want them to change, you know, one of them. You know the drill, right? But we let him be himself that day. Instead of making him change, we just commended him for what he had done. Well, each day we get dressed. Evidence of that is that we're all here fully clothed, right? Right. That was a big thing, right? Getting dressed today. If we didn't, we'd be coming to worship or going to work in our pajamas, or worse yet, in the buff, and then you get arrested when you do things like that, or you get put in the psych hospital. So, you know, you kind of want to put clothes on, be dressed. Clothes were created to keep us modest and cover up the private parts that nobody's supposed to see. We all know that because we get dressed all the time, right? But we have a choice of what clothing to wear. We might choose it because it's our favorite. We might choose it because it makes us look strong or powerful or thin, or it might be a uniform that we have to wear, or it might be that we dress because of the weather. I will not be wearing open-toed sandals in January. You can bet that you won't see that. We dress for we dress for a variety of reasons. In our scripture reading, in Colossians, the Apostle Paul is telling us to clothe ourselves in characteristics that are of Jesus Christ. So put on clothes that, much the same as we put on clothing, we're supposed to put on characteristics of Jesus Christ. Before we can put on the clothes that are of Jesus, we have to take off the old ones, right? You don't keep putting clothes over clothes over clothes, right? You take them off, you wash them, you put on new ones, and you freshen up. The first part of that scripture reading gives us kind of a laundry list of what are those characteristics that are that Jesus wants us to take off, or Paul is telling us to take off. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed. It's pretty blunt about you can't have these things if you're going to put on Christ. And he also says you must rid yourself of things like anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from your lips. And don't lie to one another. So Jesus is saying, or Paul through Jesus is saying you got to take these things off before you can put on the clothes of Christ. Because these are the things that are inconsistent with a follower of Jesus Christ. The clothes of Christ we're called to put on are much better than greed and anger and slander. They're things like compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Kind of those things that Chris was talking about when she said the mission trip group did those things out of kindness and compassion and humility. And our servants at Vacation Bible School did it out of kindness and compassion and humility. Paul is saying that our conduct, how we act, should match our faith. Being a follower of Jesus Christ means taking the right actions in all that we do. Not just some of the time, but all of the time. And the more that we know Christ, the more that Christ lives in our hearts, the more that we're able to do Christ's work, the more we're going to be changed to be like Christ. The more the clothing of Christ that we wear will be more like Christ and less like those negative things that are listed. It isn't always easy, of course, to put on the clothes of Christ, right? It's just not always that easy. It takes practice. It takes diligence. It takes patience. But it is what God would have us do. Paul gives us some really good strategies in the scripture in Colossians that help us live day by day for Jesus Christ. One of the things that Paul says is we need to imitate Christ. Imitate Christ's compassionate and forgiving attitude. As we do that, we remember that God forgave us through Jesus Christ, that our sins are forgiven, and we forgive people, that Christ forgives us for the things we've done, so then we should forgive others. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. That's also in the scriptures. Living in peace doesn't mean we always agree with everything that everybody does, but because we live in peace, we work through that. We come to an understanding about how we live together in Jesus Christ, even amid our differences. Paul says that we should always be thankful for the things in our lives without desiring more and more and more things. And then we're supposed to keep the Word of God in our hearts every day as we live as a representative of Christ. If we come to church on Sunday and we hear the Word spoken and we hear it proclaimed in the sermon and in the songs, and then we don't live it, then really the Word of God is not living in our hearts. And finally, that scripture says that let love guide all your actions. All of these things, all of these characteristics mean nothing unless they're wrapped in love, unless they're united and bound together in love. Love holds all of our actions in place. I don't know if you've been out and about and see pants that come down to here. Don't you want to say, get a belt, right? Get a belt. So love is kind of the belt that holds it all in, holds it all together, keeps things where they need to be. It's love that helps us be compassionate and humble and generous. Love is what helps us to reach out to others. Now, I understand that some days it's hard to live that way. Some days we are just not feeling compassionate, right? We have those days where we're like, I can't do it today. I can't. We want to be selfish. It's days like those that we just want to stay home. We want to stay in our pajamas. We want to binge watch a bunch of movies or a season of something. We don't want to interact with people, right? We have those days, right? Raise your hand if you don't have those days. Okay, I thought so. So we all have those days where we just want to think about ourselves. We don't want to go be nice to others. We just want to stay at home. But we're still called to, another version of the scripture says, put on love. This one says, clothe yourselves in love, but put on love. And if you think about putting it on, it's sort of faking it. So fake love, maybe for a little while, and then in sort of the faking love, the actions start to follow and the heart starts to follow. If Christ is living our hearts, we don't fake it for very long because Christ permeates and our interactions of love permeate into our hearts. On those tough days, we need Jesus' help. And we also need the help of others in faith. Our friends in faith can help us sort of get away from those selfish days and start to think for others. They're the ones that support us when we're down. They rejoice with us when we're having great moments in life. And they're also the people that call us on our behavior when we aren't acting as we should for Jesus Christ. We're called as followers of Christ to spend meaningful time with people who genuinely care for us, who genuinely care for others, and who genuinely care for Jesus. And when we do that, then our lives flourish in Christ. Whenever people exchange genuine caring of one another, everyone wins, everyone grows, and this love that wraps around it just continues to grow. We have people in our lives that help us to grow through our tough times. And there are also people among us who are somewhat isolated. We're called to bring them in too, because people that are emotionally isolated are prone to depression and sleeping disorders and eating disorders. Living in isolation causes people to be more likely to give in to temptation when there's not that love and support of another human being. There's a journal called the Journal of Happiness Studies, and it's an academic journal, believe it or not, and it uses tools to identify what helps human people flourish in life. Researchers found that what separates really happy people from less happy people is the presence of rich, joy-producing, meaningful relationships. So those people that have meaningful relationships have happier lives, right? Does that make sense? Yeah, it makes sense, definitely, right? And so happiness is directly related to how connected you are with other people. And it's important to have people beyond acquaintances, people that you can really connect at a deeper level with. Facebook is wonderful. It allows us to have as many friends as we want, right? Yeah, we can have as many friends as we want. All those friend requests, we could say yes to every single one of them, whether we know who they are or we met them once, whatever the deal. And yet, which of those Facebook friends can you count on when the going gets tough? Because that's the difference between a friend and an acquaintance, is who can you count on when life comes at you hard? It takes more than superficial relationships to prevent isolation. Unfortunately, the same is true in the church. Coming to worship, that's a good thing, and shaking hands and maybe having a cup of coffee and a snack after worship does not prevent isolation. Okay, you can do that and stay superficial with all the people that you encounter. You can shake hands and not ever be in any sort of deep, intimate relationship with anybody beyond coffee and shaking hands. A person needs deeper connection than that. And they need deeper connections in this body of faith. There's a book that was written about 6 or 7 years ago called Bowling Alone. Anybody ever heard of that book? Robert Putnam wrote, you've heard of it? Robert Putnam wrote this book. And in this book, he did like over 500,000 interviews to over like 25 years to find out kind of where we're at. And in the last 25 years, as a whole, society is signing fewer petitions, they're joining less organizations, and they know their neighbors less and less. They get together with their friends and family less and less. That's what his study found. And it's called Bowling Alone because we're even bowling alone. Less people are joining bowling leagues, you know, because there's some camaraderie in a bowling league. More Americans are bowling than ever before. Really. But they're bowling alone. They're not doing it with other people. The author made this staggering statement. As a rough rule of thumb, if you belong to no groups, but you decide to join just one, you cut your risk of dying in the next year by half. You believe that? To not be isolated can reduce your risk of death. Okay, obviously you were probably headed that direction anyway. Don't get me wrong on that one. imagine not wanting to cut your life, you know, to increase your lifespan. John Ortberg, anybody heard of John Ortberg? He's a Christian writer, serves a church in Chicago, and he wrote a book, The Me I Want to Be. And he shares that their new motto for small groups is join a small group or die. How about that? Can we put that in our newsletter? Join a small group, join a gig or die. Right? Right? We laugh because it is kind of a funny thing. But when we think about it, when we think about the power of the small group and the power of connection, it becomes a little less funny. And even though we still want to laugh. In small groups or in gigs, people come together and they share Christ and they share support and they share life with one another. It goes beyond shaking hands in worship and having coffee with someone after worship. Life is really good at beating us down, right? There are times when life beats us down. Why not journey in faith with other people and have a little support through that beating down time? And every person, I can imagine, there's not a one among you who wouldn't like your own little cheering section, right? Somebody to cheer you on when you need a little extra oomph. Gigs here at First United Methodist is a great place to connect with others. Does anybody know what GIG stands for? Growth and Impact Groups. Thank you. I wrote it down just so I wouldn't forget. I was like, Melinda, what does it stand for? She's not here to help me, so thank you. Get Growth and Impact Groups. So growth, growing in our own faith, impacting one another and impacting the larger community, and being in a group with people in your faith in Jesus Christ. In our scripture reading today, it says that in verse 14, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them or unites them all together in perfect unity. It's tough to put on the clothes of Christ without loving and supporting one another, without having someone help you in your own growth. We're trying to dress in Christ's clothes every day. No matter what we put on, if we need to put on Christ every day. And our gigs can help us do that. Our connections of faith can help us do this. Believe it or not, the journey of faith was not ever meant to be taken alone. Even Jesus sent out the disciples two by two. You remember that? Sent them out two by two because it's important to not journey in faith alone. It's tough to do it alone. It's tough to do anything in life alone. We all need someone to lean on. We all need someone to help us grow in our faith in Jesus Christ. So why not try a gig and get invested in your journey of faith? I know life gets busy. I know it's hard to put another thing in the calendar. Believe me, I know that. I served three churches. All of them were part-time, and I served three of them. Ask my family, they never saw me. It's hard to find things to put, find time in our schedule. But it's an important thing to put in your schedule. My hope and my prayer is that each of you remains connected to the body of Christ. And we can do that in worship, and we can do it even deeper in a gig. In September, we'll have a list of all the gigs that are available to you for you to start to get connected in a group. And if you want to start another one, we can help you do that too. Beyond worship, we need to connect for Jesus Christ. I invite you to put on the clothes of Christ, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, and then put on the overcoat of love or the shawl of love or the bathrobe of love, because that's going to bind it all together. Christ calls us to be united in love with Christ at the center. Let us pray. Holy Lord, help me to put on love so that I can have compassion for all those I meet. I pray that for all people gathered here, for all people who know you, for us to be more like you. Help others to see you in us. In your name we pray. Amen.